Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Nottingham Forest, a club with a unique spellbinding history.
Robertson, the first time we've seen them attack them, and there's Francis! Well, that's what I wanted to see Robertson do. Nottingham Forest have done it. John McGavin holds the European Cup aloft.
Former champions of England, two-time European Cup winners, two-time FA Cup winners, Brian Clough. It's a resume many clubs would covet. But for a long stretch of time, they weren't dining at the top table.
Nottingham Forest are relegated.
Sort of cast a pall of gloom over the club and the city, really.
And all of a sudden, they were losing money, and these people had come in it to make money. And unfortunately, their share price wasn't good enough.
That season was a disaster for the club, you know. Brian had sort of probably lost his way a little bit at the football club. It was inevitable that he was going to leave the football club.
Carry me back to the days I knew there.
So, why so long in the wilderness? And how did Steve Cooper and his side manage to finally bounce back to the big time? This is Nottingham Forest. Far have I travelled, much have I seen. Their long journey back to the Premier League.
Today, obviously, but I am happy. I'm a happy man. Happiness comes with inside. I'm a good socialist. I'm a good dad. I'm a good granddad. I'm happy. Get on, man.
The unmistakable voice of Brian Clough. It's 1993 and Forest have just been relegated to the Championship. Clough has decided to retire at the end of the season.
Barry, could you excuse me? And thank you for asking me to be interviewed. And I'll go back to Barbara and the grandchildren.
It's been a pleasure knowing you, sir. Enjoy your retirement.
Thank you.
It was sad to see the demise of him at the club, and considering I think he'd been there 17 years and the history that he had, and then, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. He probably should have bailed out maybe a couple of years earlier. We got to the FA Cup final in 91, and maybe that was a good time maybe for him to finish, but... Listen, it'll always be remembered fondly at Nottingham Forest by myself, by the players that have worked with him, and certainly by the supporters. You know, he's a national hero in those parts, in the East Midlands, and that's what he should be remembered for.
That's the voice of former Forest left-back and club legend Stuart Pearce. Here's former Forest goalkeeper Mark Crossley.
We still didn't really know, I believe, until right to the very end that he was actually going to pack in. He wasn't the type to come in a dressing room and go, lads, this is my last season, I'm finishing. It wasn't like that. It was just, bang, gone, finished, I've done. That's what I recall of it anyway. It was a sad way for the gaffer to go, really. He believed that, you know, that last season we could have done a lot better, but we weren't good enough that season. We were poor right from the start. I think, well, actually, we won the first game. I think it was the first live game on TV against Liverpool. We won 1-0. And Stuart Pearce always gets on to me because I famously quoted after that game, I think we've got half a chance this season. but we got relegated. So some quote that was. So every season after that, Stuart Pearce used to say to me, big man, do not make any quotes after the first game. I wasn't allowed to quote anything after that.
Cleffie had left behind quite the legacy at Forest, 7 trophies in 18 wonderful years. So how was the club to rebuild after his departure? His former player, Frank Clark, who'd won a European Cup under him, was named as his successor.
You know, he'd been incredibly successful, a legend there for 18 years almost, so it was a bit daunting. But ultimately, it was just about doing the best job I could. You know, it was the right way to do it. I mean, no way was I ever going to try and be another Brian Clough, because that would be silly. But there were a lot of problems when I first went there. You know, they'd just been relegated, the Messiah had gone, which had sort of cast a pall of gloom over the club and the city, really. When I was a player coming to the end of my playing career and he knew that I was thinking about going into management, he said, don't do it because you're too nice, which wasn't exactly a glowing testimonial, but there you go.
He knew what the club was about. He knew what the supporters were about. He knew what Brian Clough was about. So when he came in, he didn't have to change too much, really, apart from put his own stamp on the situation and his knowledge of players and some of his signings that we just couldn't believe that he was making. And we flew back up to the Premier League, you know, just through sheer brilliant appointment from the board to appoint Frank, who knew the club.
Frank initially did well. Forest bounced straight back up. And then, in true Brian Clough style, finished third in their first season back in the Premier League.
He's done it! Stan Collymore!
So I was able to spend that money and I'd give the team a look that said it was my team, not Brian's team, you know. I brought in Stan Collymore, obviously.
And Nottingham Forest must feel as though they've broken into the Bank of England. Collymore has stolen a goal from the vaults of the Old Trafford defences. It had to be him.
Been down, yeah, but I've come back brighter.
I mean, Stan was incredible for 2 years at the club, 25 goals each year. It was amazing to finish third.
I think there's only Newcastle done the same since, and that will never, ever, ever be repeated. Frank got himself in the record book simply by being a gentleman, knowing how to handle players, big players. You got England captain Stuart Pearce in there, you know, and Frank just knew how to handle people by being a gentleman. He didn't have to shout.
It looked as though we were on our way up, but as often happens when you're at clubs like Nottingham Forest, you know, clubs come in and buy your best players, and Stan left to go to Liverpool, and that hurt us a little bit.
That was the start of the demise, I think, for me, really, that Stan went to Liverpool and Bohinen went to Blackburn. These are top players that actually got us to that third place finish, you know. But there's no way you can withstand your league position if you're flogging your best players on. It really is that simple.
After that season came a ninth placed finish. And then things started to unravel.
I also became maybe the victim of my own success in finishing third. In the following season, as you say, we finished ninth, and the supporters were absolutely furious. They thought that was a bad season, that we'd finished ninth in the Premier League, we'd got to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, the quarterfinals of the UEFA Cup, and actually made a profit, a trading profit, for the first time for God knows how many years. But they weren't happy with that. And believe it or believe it not, after that season, the season ticket sales were right down in the summer.
By the summer of 1996, the club was facing a major crisis.
The club at that time was really run in a very strange way. It was run by a committee, none of whom were particularly wealthy people. None of them were going to put money into the football club because it could be voted out by a group of shareholders. So nobody was going to invest under those conditions. So the club had to survive really on the money that they generated. But what they had an overdraft agreed with the bank that was, well, the security for the overdraft was the value of the playing staff, because they didn't have anything else. You know, they didn't own the ground. City Council owned the ground. So they had no assets to use as collateral. What they did was they got this £6 million overdraft on the basis of the value of the playing squad. Well, as soon as Bosman came in, of course, that just knocked that straight out the window, because bank managers were looking at that and thinking, oh, hell, Pearcey gets out of contract, he can walk away for nothing. Colin Cooper can walk away for nothing. We're not going to put up with that for very long. So they started putting pressure on the directors to get the overdraft down, and they found that very difficult to deal with, which I understand. I mean, you know, it was a problem.
Forest was sliding into uncontrollable debt. The total deficit reached £11.3 million. The club soon found itself in the hands of its auditors, Price Waterhouse.
We'd won the first game of the season away at Coventry 3-0 and not won subsequently up until just before Christmas. On the Friday, Frank Clark stepped down as manager. The club rang me and said, would you take over as caretaker manager? And the club are going through a takeover financially. I said, OK, fine. Initially, they said it would be for a month, and I was still playing at the time. Ended up coming in. We beat Arsenal, the invincible team from the year before. We beat them in our first game. So the two games I had was Arsenal at home, United at home, so big games. So we ended up starting pretty well, and I stayed in post. Harry Bassett come in and joined me in March, just as an old head. We probably just had too much to do to stay up eventually, so in the end the club got relegated.
Southampton have got all 3 points on a depressing afternoon for Nottingham Forest. Stuart Pearce said that they would have to be celebrating at 4:45. They are not, and his team are staring relegation in the face.
Forest eventually went down in 1997.
And Nottingham Forest are promoted, barring a Herculean goal-scoring effort from Middlesbrough this week. Dave Bassett will be leading his side in the Premiership next season.
Once again, Forest bounced straight back up under Dave Bassett, but went straight back down again the following season.
Well, it was all hunky-dory when I got promoted, and there was going to be money spent on the team, when in actual fact, they needed money because their stock market on the AIM hadn't gone well, and all of a sudden they were losing money, and these people had come in it to make money. Unfortunately, their share price wasn't good enough, so all of a sudden they needed to bolster it up. And as I say, it was a disastrous season, and all of a sudden I had interference with Irvin Scholar, you know, selling Kevin Campbell behind my back and deciding he wanted to keep Van Hooydonk, and he didn't realise that Van Hooydonk was going to go on strike, which left us in a terrible hole with two players who had scored like 53 goals the season before, not in the team. So, you know, you take them away, and also Colin Cooper followed soon after. So it was a disaster season, and of course, I think after I'd gone, they employed Ron Atkinson. They thought Ron could keep him up. Unfortunately, he couldn't for him.
This time, Forest wouldn't come straight back up. Those successes under Clough were now beginning to feel like a distant memory. Forest now had to battle for their status as one of English football's biggest clubs, and it was a long road ahead. Coming up on Nottingham Forest, far have I travelled, much have I seen. The club reaches a new low point.
Embarrassing that obviously you didn't perform to the level you were expected to perform. The disappointment is massive. It's massive because you're short for words.
By the end of 1999, Forest found themselves back in the second tier. Here's goalkeeper Mark Crossley.
You could smell that the club didn't have that togetherness, that, you know, people were starting to think they could do what they wanted. And we'd never had that. You know, when your best player, because Pierre Van Hooydonk was our best player, he went on strike for 3 months and the players didn't agree with it, and it builds a rift straight away. And you never recover from things like that. David Platt came in, he came in from Sampdoria, straight away signed 3 Italians, which were never going to work in the Championship, never. I remember the first game away at Ipswich, we'd signed a 35-year-old centre-back, and he played as a sweeper because that's what they did in Italy. And we got absolutely battered. We defended deeper than the ocean that day, you know, because we were playing with a sweeper. I felt a bit for David because he couldn't get it going. He had to recruit, but he had to recruit bargains. He couldn't go out there and spend 5 and 6 million to try and get us back promoted. So for me, the demise was the start of the Pierre Van Hooydonk thing, and then it just went downhill from then ever since.
The early noughties saw more struggles, as talented youngsters such as Jermaine Jenas left the club for bigger prospects. But in the 2002-03 season, Forest came close to promotion again with a talented team, including Michael Dawson and Andy Reid.
Reid goes for goal himself and has found the net from 25 yards.
Under manager Paul Hart, they reached the playoff semi-finals.
Substitutes have certainly done their bit, and Kappa's not giving it up yet. Oh, it's an own goal for Des Walker of all people, and it means that Sheffield United are on their way to Cardiff.
An epic battle with Sheffield United ended in defeat, and Forest were consigned to another year in the Championship. And problems off the field started to worsen. 2 years later, Hart was left with no money to spend, and the unthinkable happened. Nottingham Forest became the first ever European Cup winners to be relegated to the third tier of league football. Midfielder Eugen Bopp was part of the squad that dropped down to League One.
Embarrassing that obviously he didn't perform to the level you were expected to perform. The disappointment is massive. It's massive because you're short for words, like really upset, you're down mood, you know. It's hard to explain, but you're just really disappointed. Disappointment just to be able to look back and just sit there and think, I can't believe, you know, through all those seasons we did manage to get enough points to keep this club in division, to regroup maybe for next season and make it better next season. But like I said, it was a learning curve for all the players. It was a learning curve for the football club as well.
Midfielder Lewis McGugan was breaking through at Forest during their spell in the third tier.
It was a really tough time, Nottingham Forest in League One, 25,000+ every home game. If you wasn't kind of winning at half-time, there was a bit of tension. And that was, but for me, I was quite naive going into it because I was a kid. I didn't really understand the severity of what was going on. It was like, yes, I understand we're League One and we need to get this club higher. But it's like, sometimes it was good that I went in at that time, in a sense of it was a brilliant platform which allowed me to get into the first team earlier with them being kind of in League One. There's a lot of pressure daily that you carry. But at that time, we, especially the year that we eventually went up, we had to go up that year. It was the pressure was that it was, we'd been in League One for too long and we needed to get back to the Championship.
Eventually though, at the third attempt, Forest tasted promotion once again under Colin Calderwood, even if it was just to get them back to the second tier.
Finally we did it, but I can still remember being in that kind of corner, trying to hold the ball up, and the whistle went, and like I say, the pitch was within minutes full, and it was a really good time, and it was kind of one of them, it was a time to celebrate, but it was also because we knew we belonged in the Championship, it was more so good celebration, but it was a job that we needed to do. Let's move on now, if that made sense. It was kind of expected.
The aim now was to fire themselves back to the Premier League. Former Derby County manager Billy Davis was appointed Forest boss midway through the 2009 season. He became the first manager to take charge of both clubs since a certain Brian Clough. Robert Earnshaw was a key member of that Forest team.
It was a crazy period of time that, you know, our manager gets sacked, then we go on and beat Man City. I think it was 3-0. And then obviously after that, Billy takes over, but he was very clear that we had to improve the team, but also we had to chase, you know, start targeting promotion, maybe not straight away, but build up to that and definitely the next season. And the next season, you know, even, you know, from day one of preseason, it was about, we're chasing promotion now. So he was very clear with that. You know, listen, with Billy, it was great. I enjoyed it because what Billy brought, I think he brought a determination, he brought a grit, he brought super professionalism. And what he did is he pushed us to higher levels than even we thought as players.
Davis guided Forest to two playoff semi-finals, but lost both. In 2011, he was replaced by Steve McLaren, an experiment which lasted just a few months. Owner Nigel Doughty had brought Frank Clark back to the club as chairman that season.
Nigel had invested an amazing amount of his own money into the football club, and he appointed Steve McLaren as manager, which on the surface seemed like a great idea, but for some reason it didn't work out, and Steve was having a terrible time. The team was poor. Nigel was getting terrible stick on social media, which is incredible when you think of the amount of money that he was investing in the club. In October of that season, I think the bottom of the league or second bottom, and Steve McLaren resigned.
Frictions between Forest fans and Doughty began to arise, and the club was put up for sale in 2012.
Nigel had had enough of taking all this stick, and he rang me and asked me would I go back to the club as a football consultant to help them out, which I was happy enough to do, you know. Consultancy is great, isn't it? You go in and you give them your opinion and you go away, and if it doesn't work out, you don't get the blame. But then about a week later, he rang me again and said, listen, the situation's changed. I'd like you to be the chairman. And I thought, oh, well, why not? And he said, you'll have the authority to hire and fire. You'll be able to run the club, but it will have to be within the budget that he set, which is quite right. You know, he was the man putting the money in. I mean, he was financing the club even then to the tune of about £1 million a month. And without that money, the club couldn't survive. And the situation changed again. The legal people who were representing the family weren't happy at all with this £1 million a month going into Forest's coffers, directly from Nigel's coffers. And we faced a real battle to survive till the end of the season. Myself, Mark Arthur was chief executive, John Pelling was the finance director. The three of us had to work very, very hard to literally keep the club going, to keep up the morale of the staff. We used to have massive arguments with these solicitors about the finance. The club was put up for sale straight away, understandably. We had to keep stressing to them, look, if the money stops before the end of the season, the club will go into administration because we will certainly not trade illegally, which we would have done if this money had stopped coming. So that was a really difficult situation.
More tumultuous years lay ahead, but success was on the horizon. Coming up on Nottingham Forest, far have I travelled, much have I seen. We look back on the Fawaz years.
The owner was a very, very difficult man to work for. He wanted to influence everything at the club with, dare I say it, very little knowledge of how to run a business or how to run a football club.
And take a closer look at an incredible promotion campaign.
Nottingham Forest, the club of Brian Clough, of Stuart Pearce, of Gary Birtles, of Archie Gemmell, of Des Walker, are making a return to the Premier League for the first time in a generation.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Far have I travelled, and much have I seen.
In February 2012, with the club up for sale, owner, chairman and lifelong Forest fan Nigel Doughty sadly passed away. Forest was suffering on the pitch and survived a relegation battle by 10 points in the following months. With uncertainty about ownership, they were heading into the new season with just 12 players contracted to the club. But in July, a group of investment bankers chose the Kuwaiti Al Hassawi family to take over, and they came in with plenty of promise.
The Kuwait-based Al Hassawi family have outlined their plans for the NPower Championship Club.
We're in a different league, and certainly, we do have ambitions. We do have hopes, but we will start, and someday, yes, we will probably play with Manchester City or Manchester United.
I'm delighted. I just love this club, and I just want it to go forward.
Absolutely blinding. Can't wait for this new season now.
This is a new chapter now. Hopefully we can get back to where we belong.
Midfielder Lewis McGugan remembers the new owners arriving at the City Ground.
That kind of initial first 6 months was just chaotic. It was just chaotic. There was just too much going on. It just wasn't healthy or for the footballing, for the football team, for the squad, for the managers to try and... There was just... We need to concentrate on football, but there was also always something kind of happening in the background, especially that pre-season. It just didn't kind of flow at that time I was at the club. And I think Fawaz's intentions was very good from the start. I think you can always have a plan, but I think that's the case with anything. I think that's the case, especially a lot of football owners. Their intention from the start or the plan from the start is always probably the right one, but they didn't have the experience that they needed to deal with certain things. And yeah, I think the kind of club lost its kind of identity, really.
But once again, Forrest struggled to make it back to the top flight. There was a managerial merry-go-round with nine different bosses during their five seasons in charge. Stephen Cottrell, Sean O'Driscoll, Alex McLeish, Billy Davis again, Stuart Pearce, Dougie Friedman, Philip Montagnier and Mark Warburton. Stuart Pearce returned as manager in 2014.
It was different. It was very fragmented, the football club, you know. There was a lot of disaffection there from the academy right the way through, the fans, everyone. It was really disappointing for me to see. There wasn't a unity at the football club in any way, shape or form. I'd like to think probably in my short time there, back as manager, I unified a lot of the club once again. I think that's something I'm particularly good at. But the owner was a very, very difficult man to work for. He wanted to influence everything at the club with, dare I say it, very little knowledge of how to run a business or how to run a football club. A lot of managers had worked for the same owner and told me scare stories, and some of those scare stories sort of bore out in front of me. So nothing would surprise me, you know, and it doesn't in football. So it's the nature of the game. But the bottom line is, people say to me, I think my tenure was about 7 months, and we ended up being anywhere between first in the league and 12th in that time. And it was always going to be a long project at Forest, as you've seen. You know, it's taken 23 years for them to get back again. So I'm so glad I went back in the club again. You know, once again, the fans and the relationship with me and the fans has been sensational and not fractured or broken in any way, shape or form, because I went back in as a manager, so which is always good to see.
Finally, after years of frustrating mid-table finishes and latterly a slide towards relegation, the club was sold again, this time to Olympiacos owner Evangelos Marinakis. Another new era was set to begin.
It's about the confidence, it's about the ambition again, and I would like to transmit my ambition, because and they have to realise that they are in a big club, and the big clubs are always thinking about winning.
Midway through the 2017-18 season, Spaniard Aitor Karanka was brought into the club. As a manager who had already tasted promotion with Middlesbrough, it was clear that Forrest was starting to show intent. But once again, the club pulled up short. Karanka improved results, but left the club midway through the following season. After a brief stint under Martin O'Neill, Sabri Lamouchi arrived at the City Ground.
Big club with a lot of expectation, because big fan, big history, so we must do our job to try to give our best from beginning.
Forrest were flying under the French manager, only to tragically miss out on the playoffs on the final day of the season.
It's Forrest 1, Stoke 4, it's an own goal right at the end, and that ends Forrest's playoff hopes. Forrest 1, Stoke 4. Forrest have somehow, incredibly, thrown away a playoff place that was in their hands.
Eventually, Chris Hooton took over, but Forrest finished a lowly 17th the following season. At the start of the last campaign, Hooton was dismissed, with Forrest picking up just 1 point from their first seven games.
First chorus of you getting sacked in the morning from the Derby County fans for Chris Hooton.
No team in history who had been in that position had managed to finish higher than 14th place. The wait for Premier League football once again seemed like a distant dream. But then, Steve Cooper arrived.
Proud, privileged, honoured.
Across the face of goal, Taylor!
Great football club, steeped in tradition and history that, you know, everybody knows about. So it's a real honour to be. It's happened very quick.
Barnsley 1, Nottingham Forest 3. 3 goals in 22 minutes.
But ever since there was a chance of joining, it was just a real intention to get here as quick as I can.
Birmingham City 0, Nottingham Forest 3. Points surely secured, and this Forest revival under Steve Cooper is set to continue.
Cooper oversaw 4 wins in his first 5 games in charge. The only defeat in his first 15 matches was a loss to eventual title winners Fulham. But it wasn't just on the pitch that Cooper was turning things around. Forest legend Gary Birtles says that the Welsh manager was keen to embrace the history of the club.
He invited us out for a drink. We were there a couple of hours. He was asking us questions about how things were done when we played under Brian and Peter. And, you know, he invited me down to a training session at the City Ground. He did it all himself. Yes, everybody was around him, but it was down to him and the response he got from players in a training situation on the City Ground pitch. He was just great to watch. It really was. It was so impressive.
Me speaking to a lot of them and getting quite friendly with the likes of Gary Birtles has made me really understand the real history of the football club and what it stands for. So it just makes me try and be the best I can at my job. And we want to embrace the past. We want to be proud of it. We'll always stand on their shoulders, and we want to, but we want to do it trying to create a positive next step. And that's only what we're trying to do.
And that emphasis on pride has trickled down to the players too. Here's ex-Forest player David Johnson, dad of current striker Brennan, talking about a moving moment in the dressing room involving club captain and local lad Joe Worrell.
He did a speech to all the players, and the manager got them up and was just saying, listen, you're Nottingham, this is what it actually means to these boys. And Joe got up. Joe was that emotional, started crying. Before that, he got all the parents to write a message. So every time the players go into their locker room, there's a message in all their lockers.
Here's Joe Worrell himself.
We etched ourselves in history last season, getting back to the Premier League after so long out of it. Obviously, the guys who did fantastically for the club many years ago, John McGovern, Ian Storymore, John Robertson, Frank Clark, all those kind of boys, Colin Barrett, who are at the club very regularly and in contact with the manager and all the staff, and we see them all the time. It's funny that they don't leave Nottingham. You come from all over and you stay in the city. And that's something that hopefully happens to a lot of players who are here now, who have a real longevity about the Forest career, and that's something that we aim to have in the Premier League as well, longevity.
Heading into the final two games of the season, Forest were battling it out for automatic promotion with Bournemouth. But the Cherries secured a place in the Premier League with a 1-0 win.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere.
The referee blows the full-time whistle. Cue Bedlam in Bournemouth because the Cherries are back in the Premier League.
If I can dream of a better land.
Once again, Forrest would have to do it the hard way.
Slips it back to Garner, a chance to cross. He does cross. It's touched in towards the near post, and it's smashed in.
Wow, what a goal. What a fantastic goal.
Forest take the lead in the playoff final. And there's the full-time whistle, and it's time for Nottingham Forest to party like it's 1999. Despite their worst start to a season in 108 years, Nottingham Forest, the club of Brian Clough, of Stuart Pearce, of Gary Birtles, of Archie Gemmell, of Des Walker, are making a return to the Premier League for the first time in a generation. For so long they've been in the shadows, a team from yesteryear, but this is a game changer. The last time they were in the top flight, it was the 90s, but now, under the expert guidance of Steve Cooper, they have been pushed just about to the Premier League.
There's still a lot of football to be played when I came in, of course, and we set out in a way of playing, we set out in an identity and an attitude, and we've just stuck to it, you know, and it's all been about what we can do rather than what we can't do. It's all been about us and not the opponent. We've stuck to a way of playing, and like I said, when we've had many setbacks, we've recovered well. I mean, we've been brilliant this year. There's no doubt about that. You know, you've seen some of the football that we've played, young players, you know, taking risks and, you know, building from the back with attacking football. And, you know, we deserve where we are. There's no doubt about that.
They've done it. Finally, after 23 years, Forrest had made it back into the big time. Evangelos Marinakis had realised his dream as owner.
It's a magic moment. We are back. And now we go for trophies.
Did you think it was an impossible dream when Steve Cooper arrived?
Nothing is impossible for me. If you see what I have done in my life, you see that nothing is impossible.
So what can Nottingham Forest do now that they are back? What do you think?
You have to be patient and see, but be ready for trophies. I want to congratulate them. It was a terrific effort. Let them enjoy now. 40 years later, we shouldn't talk anymore about the past. We should talk about the future.
Finally, they can see the wood through the tricking trees. The Premier League awaits for Forest. Welcome back to the big time.
Who knows what's to come?
and it was so good to see them getting promoted again. And just looking round and seeing people probably of my age and older and slightly younger than me that had experienced the glory times at Nottingham Forest, you know, wearing retro shirts, and alongside them were their children that have never seen Forest in the Premier League. So this season will be a great season for Forest.
Brennan Johnson with a shot, and Brennan Johnson with a goal.
It means a lot, obviously. I've only known Nottingham Forest to be in the Championship and even League One, so just as a fan, being in the Premier League, it's so good for the whole city. I mean, just going out and about, it's got a real buzz to it, all different. Even like at the cricket, rugby, stuff like that, it just brings everyone together, and yeah, it just means so much to everyone, and it's been really good.
Fingers crossed that I think survival is the main aim. If they survive this league and then you can build on it for this season, then who knows, Forest could be back where they belong, where I believe they belong.
And Gravett is there! And Gravett has turned it in!
Try and keep the core of the team that got you up there and bring in maybe two or three players with a bit more quality to cope with the Premier League. But Steve's had to, he's had to replace half the team before he starts tinkering with it at the edges, you know. So it's going to be very difficult for him.
Nottingham Forest, the only side to have beaten Arsenal in the third round of the FA Cup in a generation.
12 months ago, we never thought we'd be anywhere near the Premier League. So I just hope we take that kind of one-off atmosphere that they had in the FA Cup games, which kind of changed the emphasis of them games. I just hope we kind of bring that same attitude into the league next year, really.
It's just now, you know, gelling the team together, believing in what Steve Cooper is trying to achieve this season, believing his philosophy of football, the way he wants to play the game, but also finding the right players who are willing to play the way the manager wants to play.
I believe they can upset a few people like the likes of Brentford. I looked at Brentford last year. I want them to have that same attitude. No fear. Go out. Try and win the games. Try and win, pick up points. You might lose some, of course, but don't be fearful of any team in the Premier League. Go out and give everything that you can.
Ecstasy in Nottingham! The red half of this city cannot believe what they're witnessing. Joe Worrell's diving header.
We're under no illusions that next year is going to be tough. We've worked our way, obviously, last season and then extremely well since the new manager came in. Got ourselves up into the big league, which is absolutely fantastic for the club, for the players, for the city of Nottingham. 23 years out of it, it's put a smile on a lot of people's faces.
We've managed to make a really positive step in getting promoted to the Premier League, and we've got to attack the Premier League like we attacked trying to get promoted, and that's really believing in what we do, committing to the challenge, backing each other and trying to do it in an exciting, attractive way. You know, we've got loads of young players in our team. You know, we're looking forward to it.
For those loyal Forest fans, far have they travelled, much have they seen. Now is the time to finally enjoy being back in the big time.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.